So this is not my message. This is the message that comes from the Lord. There was something else I wanted to preach. And the Lord said, no, we're preaching this today. And it's so important in the days and times that we're living in about the house. When I say what's in your house, some folks will say, is he talking about our physical home? Or is he talking about our family? Or is he talking about within our heart? And I'll say, yes. Yes. All of them. I find, and I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm trying to follow the Lord. Some things that I've looked for and saw, and I believe this: when a person gets to the point in their life that they cannot be showed something that's right or truth, admit that they're wrong in something, and go on with the truth. You're not only in mud, but you're sinking in the mud. I have found a lot of things that I used to preach, I don't preach no more. Notice I said that I preached. I don't preach no more. It's just as much as a struggle for the man of God to surrender himself unto the authority and the power and the anointing of God as it is for you all to be preached to and said, you need to surrender yourself to the power and the anointing and the Spirit of the Lord to walk in the ways of the Lord. And why are you doing all this stuff, preacher? Because I wholeheartedly believe the ears of everybody that's here needs to hear this message, including me. It's not a harsh message, but it's a message that I will say that every time the Lord speaks, we got to be give the more earnest heed. Sister Stella was bragging on Brother Homer Hensley at Preach Sunday night. You know, I loved that preaching Sunday night. It was food for the soul, and it was challenging. Was it not? He asked us how many verses were in the first chapter of Psalms. Then he asked us how many chapters were in the last chapter of Psalms. Began to challenge folk. Everybody likes a good message, and I loved it. And I'm glad I knew the answers, but I wasn't going to volunteer to make sure I wasn't going to get embarrassed. But I want to say this. The Word of God should challenge us, and it should bring us closer to Him. And I hope and pray today that our hearts would be revelated, and I hope and pray that we would ask the Lord to put us in the message. Every time a preacher's preaching this pulpit, and every time I went to another pulpit, I've always done this, Brother Brian. I said, Lord, put me in the message. And I will have to say 100% of the time He has never failed to put me in the message. So, if you would, we ask you to stand with us if you can. If you can, if you're able to reverence the reading of the Word of God. And you can reverence it sitting down if you can't stand. There's people in the hospital who can't get up out of a bed that can still reverence the Word of God. You reverence it in your heart, but we want to stand. Stretch your legs a little bit. We're going to be in 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4. Familiar scripture, familiar story. I've never preached along these lines before, but I do thank the good Lord that He showed us in these scriptures. We have, I do not want to be too long-winded, and I know you all probably thinking, yeah, that's right, you're always long-winded. But I want to preach just as fast as the Lord wants me to, but not too slow and not too fast. I want to preach everything the Lord wants me to preach. 2 Kings chapter number 4, if you got it, say amen. Amen. If you ain't got it yet, you say, hold up, preacher. 2 Kings 4. I like hearing them leaves. I heard a preacher call the paper of the Bible. He said, I like hearing them leaves rustle in the wind. And that sounds good. Of course, I likened it to the Spirit flowing through there, and that's good to find the Scriptures. 2 Kings chapter number 4, and this is how it is written, starting at verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath nothing, hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come into when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all the vessels. thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you, Father, one more time today. We praise you. We glorify you, Lord. Glad you put us on the winning side. Glad it's under the blood, Lord Father. Thankful, Lord Father, that we have a hope, Lord Father. We have faith, Lord Father, in thy Son that died upon the cross for our sin. Thankful, Lord Father, that we have a hope that one day after a while this corruption will be cast off and we'll put on incorruption. But Father, while we're here in this day, while we're here in this sanctuary, while we're here under the sound of my voice, Lord Father, reading from thy word, Lord, we need your anointing. We need your power. We need your spirit. And we need you, Lord Father, to revelate our heart. Not only the congregation, but Lord, myself. Lord Father, hide me in the midst of the cross. Let me lose sight of myself. And Lord, let the congregation lose sight of Jason Faulkner. And may their heart, their eye of faith, Lord Father, be focused and centered on, Lord Father, you giving the message. Father, I know, Lord Father, with you all things are possible. But as I said, Lord Father, I feel like I'm in mud today. And Lord Father, we need you just to pull us out, Lord Father, and set our feet upon the rock as it was preached last Sunday. Lord Father, I pray today we have the rock already. We got your word. We got the testimony, Lord Father. But I also want to pray, Lord, for the hearts of everybody that's going to hear. That their attention be arrested. That their heart would be focused. That, Lord, they not pitchfork it over their shoulder and say, it's not for me. For I find myself, Lord Father, in every message. And I pray you put us all in this one. It's in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing and reading with us. As we said, we want to preach on what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? This scripture is familiar scripture. This is the first part of you'll have it, the starting of the things that were being done, the miracles that are being done, the duties that were being done, the labor that's being done by Elisha. Elisha, we all know familiar as Elisha is the one who had walked with Elijah. And he told Elijah that he said, Elijah asked him what he would do for Elisha. And Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. And Elijah said that he had to be there with him at the River Jordan when he was taken up. And Elisha received the mantle and did get that double portion. But Brother Eddie, with a double portion of the spirit also comes double the labor of doing the work. And may I say this, God loves one, loves them that labor and do the work that he gives them. And here Elisha is still doing the things at the beginning, as I said, of the things that Elisha was going to be doing with and through and by the Lord. And we find here in this place a woman talking about the house and talking about her sons and talking about a debt and talking about her husband. May I say this, when we ask the question, what do you have in your house? The most important thing is to say, what is inside your house? I find that there's many types of houses in our life. There's many types of houses in the world. I've thought about ranch homes and brick homes and Cape Cod homes and Mediterranean homes. I thought of all kinds of homes. And don't get me wrong, I don't think those are not with significance. I think those things are important. But what's most important is what's inside the home is what makes the home a home. And I've often thought about this, that inside the home, though it may look good on the outside, but it covers up what goes on the inside. And can I say, inside that home is where the most important things of life takes place. May I say, the training of a child or the relationship and the fellowship of the family is inside the home. Takes place on the inside, not just how it looks on the outside. Many people would look at a house and say, man, the yard is manicured and the trees are pruned and the windows are clean and the shutters are not gummed up or cluttered up with cobwebs. The driveway looks good and everything just looks nice and neat. But on the inside could be the most horrific things that would ever go on. Somebody listen to the preacher. I'll never forget back in the days, there was a man by the name of John Wayne Gacy. He was a serial killer. And the neighbors did not know, though the outside of the house looked good, but he was burying bodies in his crawl space, and no one knew what was going on the inside of the house. And Brother Josh, I'll have to say today, though I don't believe we got anybody burying bodies in their crawl space, at least I hope they're not, But can I say this, Brother James, the most important thing, you could not be doing nothing as evil and as twisted as that. But Brother Eddie, I firmly believe if Jesus is not on the inside of the home, that home could not be the home that God wants it to be. And may I say this today, oftentimes people will like to have their own way of thinking and doing the things that they like to do, have a concept and a precept of what it means to have a godly home. But friend, I have been saved now for 19 years, and I have found that the more I learn, Brother Greg, the less I truly know about what it takes to have a godly home. But I'm glad God did not leave me in the dark. He's gave me His Word. He's gave me a roadmap. He's gave me a plan. He's gave me the blueprint to have a home. And you say, preacher, what's the most important thing with the blueprint? Get the one who wrote the blueprint on the inside, and everything will take its place. I find here that the question that was asked by Elisha was the difference maker for this woman's plight. He asked her what was on the inside of the home. And what do you have inside the house? Can I say this? The first time that we find the word house in Scriptures, we find in Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 1. We find this is where God is speaking unto Noah. We all know the story of Noah. The Bible says in the sixth chapter, we find that God is speaking unto Noah, and before he gets to Noah, he looks out across the men, looks out across the world, and he sees that men's heart is wicked. It's wicked. They've got wicked imaginations. They're doing things evil continually. And I've often said this. I think we're smack dab almost right in the middle of the days of Noah. It seems like every time you turn around, that man is wicked, and man is doing things that's awfully nasty, and when they're not doing it, they're thinking about doing it. Some people say, preacher, are you one of them people that says you can't find the good in anybody? Can I say this? I can find some good in people, but my Bible tells me there's none good. No, not one. We'll try to justify and try to make things that are good, but the Bible warns them people that cause evil good and good evil. Friend, we have a blueprint. We have a black and white good and evil, and it's the Word of God. And God looked out upon man and said, it repenteth me that I've ever made man. And he looked down, but he found Noah, and Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Oh, can I say Noah found grace in the eyes of God? But Noah still had to do some work. Y'all hearing the preacher? Can I say this? God don't like lazy people. I don't know why that stuck in my crawl. Y'all pray for me. But God did not like the lazy people. And so Noah was a man who had to do a work after he found grace in the eyes of God. And when the work was taken care of, when the work and the task was finally done, we find in the seventh chapter of Genesis, I love this scripture. The Bible says God spoke unto Noah and said, Noah, you and your family come into the ark. He said, all thy house come into the ark. Now, I don't know if Noah had recliners. I don't know if Noah had a dining room table and things like that. I don't think God was referring to the furniture of the house, but I know God was referring to the people that was inside the house. He said, Noah, all in thy house come into the ark. Can you say this? That ark was going to be their house. And can I say, I think the ark was a better house than the house that they had. You said, preacher, why? Important. God didn't tell Noah to go into the ark. He said, Noah, come into the ark. That means God was on the inside of the ark already, and he was waiting for the one who found grace in his sight. I say, hey, man, bless his holy and righteous name. Isn't it good to get an invitation to God to come to his house? Somebody say amen right there. I say, bless his holy and righteous name. The last place where you find the word house, you find it in 2 John and in verse number 10. And I find this amazing, Brother James. House is used over 1,100 times in Scriptures. But the first and the last place in the Scriptures that I just got dumbfounded when I saw this, in 2 John and verse number 10, it says, if any man come into your house and have not this doctrine, it says you don't allow him to come into your house, nor do you bid him Godspeed. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? And just in the verses before that, John had wrote and said, he that hath not the doctrine of Christ hath not life. And he that hath the doctrine of Christ has life. But if any man comes to your house, knocks on the door and says, hey, we've come to bring you a pamphlet. We've come to bring you some literature about a religion, and it doesn't glorify Jesus as being the Christ. That means he's not come in the flesh. God come in the flesh. He said, don't you allow him in your house. Don't you allow him in your house. Why is that? The Bible says a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. And when you allow something that's not of God in your house, mark her down. It don't stay put. It grows. It swells. It spreads. And it takes over. Oh, what's in your house today? What do you have in your house? Can I say this? I used to And I still am a dog lover. I love pets. And there's some other people in the house that don't hang on point the finger at nobody. But I've got to the place where I'm like, you know what? I don't want another pet in the house either. I didn't think about it before. And somebody says, preacher, you done changed your way of thinking? Well, I changed my way of thinking. And every time I turn around, I keep finding dog hair, dog hair, dog hair. And can I say this, though? The dog may be little, but the hair gets everywhere. Somebody say amen right there. If you got a dog in your house, I'm not preaching against you having a dog in your house. Please don't take that the wrong way. But I find some of the littlest things that gets in the house, it spreads. It's just an earthly example to mean a heavenly meaning. And can I say this? Too many times people allow things in their house. They allow things in their house they don't think would be very much of significance. It ain't going to hurt, preacher, just to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that. But friend, a little bit never stays a little bit. It always grows to get bigger. It always grows to get bigger. And I find in the first and the last place of scriptures where it mentions the house, the most important thing is what goes on inside the house. The most important thing is what goes on inside the house. We find in these scriptures here the woman has come to the Lord. And you say, preacher, what do you mean she's come to the Lord? She's come to the man of God. She's come to God's representative. She's come to the one who she can talk to. Back in those days, and I said it last Sunday morning in the message, that he said if there's a prophet, he said he would speak to him through visions and through dreams. And Elisha's that man. Elisha's that prophet of God. And the Bible says that she had come to that man of God, and she says, man of God, I've got myself a problem. She said, my husband is dead. And she said, the creditors have come to take my son to be bondman. So if you'll have it, there's a debt that needed to be paid. And the wife can't pay the debt, and the husband is dead. The husband would normally work off the debt, Brother James. He would do something to get paid for that debt. It's not meant for the kids to pay for the debt. I said, it's not meant for the kids to pay for the debts. Y'all hear and listen to the preacher. And you say, bro, what are you talking about? I said, them young boys shouldn't have to pay the debt. But the problem was, is that woman needed help. And her husband, that was the best thing, or the second best thing in the house that she clung to. Rock, the one that was be the head of the home, he has died, he is gone. And she said, the creditors have come. And for the payment, she's going to take my two boys. I thought about this and all the times in the scriptures I've ever read this, some things that just leaped off the page for me. I thought about this. This woman wasn't living a sinful life. This woman was not doing things wrong. It's just something bad happened to her. Can I say this? Just because something bad happens to you doesn't mean it's because that you've done something wrong. Bad things happen to good people is the story we like to say, right? Bad things happen to good people. Can I say this? People die. People leave this world unexpectedly. No one ever has the expectation of dying. They don't mark it down and say, I'm looking forward to that day. Then you get a time and things like that. But what I'm saying is this woman did not know it was coming her way, and she still lived the right life. The home was still in a condition where the things that was going on in the house wasn't evil and it wasn't wicked. You say, preacher, how can you say this? Notice this. It says in the first verse, it said that she was married to one of the sons of the prophets. I thought about this. That man was around the man of God as a young boy. He was a son of one of the prophets. That means his home life, if you had to draw a picture of it, that means his home life probably was kind of stable when it come to the Word of God. If you'll have it, if you put it translated or put it in our modern times, if you have it, daddy may have been a son of a pastor or a son of a preacher, and he lived a life, and she knew it. Can I say this? That was her father-in-law. That was her daddy-in-law. In the old Jewish weddings, the old things that took place, the husband's daddy would send out to find him a wife. It wasn't that they went out and they found themselves and courted for a long time. Back in those days, the daddies would send out for someone to find their sons a wife. And it never was much on about the girls, because the people would come looking for his girls. And can I say, when he had a daughter, the old Jewish custom was they paid a dowry unto the father for the daughter. So this daughter who got to be married to her husband, who was raised by the son of one of them, who was a prophet, she also got to know that prophet as being her father-in-law. And can I say this? The Bible says that when she said he was a son of a prophet, and Elisha, thy servant, husband is dead, thou knowest thy servant did fear the Lord. Can I say that? That means he must have lived the life. He must have walked the walk and talked the talk. The Bible says he feared the Lord. Somebody say amen right there. I'm still stuck on that fearing of the Lord, Brother Josh. You pray for me. But he feared the Lord. That means he worried about how the Lord looked at his life. He worried about if God was pleased with what he's doing. What's that old song? I'm satisfied with the Lord, but is the Lord satisfied with me? I believe this man was looking to say, hey, I want the Lord to look down upon my home and say, man, this guy's doing things correct and doing things right. One of the best examples of the proper home life was Obed-Edom when the ark of the Lord showed up at his house. And Obed-Edom was able to have a place in his house. And the Bible said his house was blessed for 3 months. I mean, I don't know what was going on inside the house, but it must have been something going on right for God to bless the house. Where it was brung a note to King David and said, hey, something's going on down at Obed-Edom's house. And not only did God bless his house, but when the ark was removed, Obed-Edom didn't say, well, the blessing's over. Him and his family got in there, Brother James, and they labored and they worked to do the things that was right with God. Why? Because even as this woman said, my husband whom thou knowest, Elisha, was a man who feared God, but it was something that was handed down from generation unto generation. This walk of life, this walk of the Lord was handed down from the parents to the kids, to the grandkids. You may think this is crazy. You may think this is wrong. But I've sat and I've listened to these prayer requests, and I heard, as I said, of an older individual having cancer and a baby having cancer. And can I say this? All those things are horrific. I could not imagine the family. And I pray for Paul and his family, and I pray for that two-year-old and her family. But can I say this? Something is going to take all of us out of here. We don't know the time. We just know that we're going to leave out of here. It's not by the design that we know how it's going to happen, but it is by the design, as Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the things that are revealed of God are our responsibility, but the things that are secret, they belong unto Him. I don't know how I'm going to die, Brother Jason. I don't know when I'm going to die, Brother Jason. I just know God showed me I'm going to die. And you know what I needed to do? I needed to get my life under the blood of Jesus Christ. And I did that, and He saved my dying soul. Oh, bless His holy and righteous name for somebody who still wants to spread the gospel of the Lord. And the best time to spread it is in the house. The Bible says this in Mark chapter number 2, that it was noised abroad in Capernaum, Jesus is in the house. Yeah, somebody say amen right there. Wouldn't that be a good thing? I mean, we got all the gossip going on around social media, around the coffee table, and around the dining room table, and around the restaurants, talking about this and talking about that. Wouldn't it be good, instead of talking about the gossip, they was talking about the gospel and said, hey, have you ever been by that so-and-so's house? Jesus is in their house. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And I like what that lady said. Can I say this? Though back in those days, a woman, it was best for a woman not to be heard, but it was best for her to be seen. But one thing I liked about her, Sister Vicky, she loved them baby boys, and she knew her husband's testimony, and she knew the man of God knew it, and she stood bold and said, now you know my husband feared the Lord, and I've got these two yay, I got these yay who's going to come get my two boys. I need help, and I need it from God. Can I say this? The worst thing that could ever happen to a youngin', listen to my words please, and don't think that I choose them lightly. The worst thing that could ever happen to a youngin' is you don't tell that youngin' about Jesus Christ. You don't tell them about a God that can save them and help them and get through anything. I mean anything and everything God can help you get through. I marvel and I'm amazed at the life that we have today, where we see and hear of teenagers and young kids killing themselves and doing things to harm themselves because they feel like nobody loves them. And the one place they should feel loved, the first place they should feel loved is in the home. But that doesn't guarantee that it'll happen in the home. I thank God we got some here, though it did not happen in the home first for some of these young'uns. But some other folks said, I'm going to love them anyway. And can I say this? They may not be my kids. They may not be your kids. But we should still love these young'uns and say, hey, there's somebody else who loves you more than I do. And his name's Jesus Christ. Too many times people don't realize the thing. But I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not going to get on this, but this has been in my mind all morning long. The devil don't want us old people. We're set in our ways. And I'm going to say this. He can't get Jason Faulkner. Doesn't come too late to get me steered away from the cross. I'm done signed, sealed, delivered, sister. Brother Ronnie, I don't care if the world turns against me. I done come too far now to turn back and say, hey, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. But if he can get these youngins, If we can get these little babies. I seen Delilah. I seen Byron's little daughter running up from the stairs. Byron, if he can get those little babies, that's what he wants. He wants that younger generation, that youthful generation, the ones, get your eyes off the Creator and follow the flesh and follow me. You'll have yourself a time. But that's what we find nowadays. More and more young people are strung out upon dope. They're strung out on alcohol. They're away from mom and dad. They ain't got no hope. They ain't got no life. And friend, the reason why is because Jesus is not promoted in the home. And can I say this, for your dying breath, if you're a mama or a grandmama or an aunt mama, can I say this? They say this about men all the time. Just because you supplied the fertilizer don't make you a dad, makes you a father. I say amen. Hey, mamas, just because you gave birth, that makes you a mother, but it don't make you a mama. Huh? And I know we got some folks here, and I know some folks that's being a mama to some kids. And can I say this? The best thing you can do for them is tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. Why? Because he's the only one that can save their dying soul. She knew. Elisha knew. She said, you know the circumstances. You know my husband. You know my life. What did I do? And Elisha asked her, what do you have in the house? Well, you say, preacher, what's it got to do with me? Well, note this. She said, all I've got nothing save a pot of oil. I don't know if anybody else still does this, but I remember Granny and Mom tried to do it with me and Tammy. Y'all get them hutches. These young people know what a hutch is. I still got to tell my kids what a hutch is. Everybody know what a hutch is? Right? What you put in them hutches, them fancy china, ain't it? Them fancy dishes, fancy eating dishes, and you get them out for when company comes over. Is that right? Remember, used to company come over, you'd be all excited, run to the door and say, who come over? Now somebody knocks on the door, you pull all the shades and blind and hide behind the couch. You don't want to talk to nobody, right? It's almost scary now to open your door. You don't know who's on the other side of the door. Where was I? Huh? Preaching. What was I preaching about? Oh, she invited him over. You get caught off sometimes. I don't get stuck in the mud. I'm out of the mud and I feel pretty good. She could have said, I had the finest of china in the hutch, preacher. And I got more than just bologna. And I got more than soup beans. But she said, I ain't got nothing to brag about. All I got is just a pot of oil. All I got is just a pot of oil. Elijah said, that's all you need. That's all you need. He said, what you go do is you get you some vessels and borrow them. When you can't find them, go borrow them. Go to your neighbors and borrow. Borrow vessels, vessel, borrow them. And he said, not a few. He said, when you get all the vessels you can get, he said, get you and your boys back in the house and shut the door. Can I say, what this country needs is families to get back in the house and shut the door. The world's done got too much of us. The world's done got a hold of too much of us. And it's trying to drag us farther and farther away. Can I say this? We'll always make time for church. You know how I am. I'm real steadfast on you come to church every time the doors is open. And I know sometimes work comes, things come. But can I tell you this? We'll always try to make time for church because it weighs in the conscience of our heart and in our mind. But the one place we leave out the most is the home. I want you to listen to this preacher. The devil may never stop you from going to church, but if he can stop you from having church in the home, he's got you what they call in the trophy case. The old-timers had a shadow box on the wall, and he put them looking pieces, them knickknacks up there. You become a looking piece for the devil. You've got to shut the door on your house. That means you shut the door to the things of the world, and you allow the Lord to have the reign in the home. She closed the doors, and she poured out, the Bible says. She poured out. I believe when she poured, I believe she poured not just the oil out, but Melissa, I believe she poured out her whole soul and spirit. As Hannah did in 1 Samuel, she poured out her soul. I believe she had faith in what the man of God said. Every drop of oil, it may keep my boys out of slavery. It may keep my boys out of being bondmen. And she filled and she said, Bubby, go get me another pot. He said, Mommy, there ain't no more. And the Bible says the oil stayed. Now, you may think I'm crazy, but I never pictured that pot being full, Sister Vicky. I pictured that pot being a wee little pot. And maybe not even full, but every time she poured, it just seemed like there was oil in that pot, right? Every time she poured, she looked in there, but we still got oil. Every time she poured, Mommy, we got any more oil? We still got oil. We got any more pots? We got pots. Mommy, we got any more oil? Still got oil, still got oil, still got oil. And when they ran out of pots, notice they didn't run out of oil, they ran out of pots. Ain't that good? I'm going somewhere with that if y'all stick with me. Y'all still with the preacher? And so the Bible says when she was done, she said, man of God, I've poured and everything's full. And the man of God says, well, pay off your debt and what you got left, live off the rest. I say, I believe they probably had themselves a time that night around the supper table. I don't know what the supper table might have looked like before. They may have had the finest of china. They may have had the finest of food and everything. But the frowns was present at the house. But after that day, Brother James, there were smiles upon their face. The debt been paid in full. Hey, the vomit couldn't come and get them. You said, preacher, what are you getting at? Hey, Jesus asked me one time if you'll have it. Jason, what do you have in your house? I said, I ain't got nothing, Lord. I just got a bunch of sin. I got a debt that I can't pay. I got a debt that I owe, and I can't help myself. He says, well, I'll give you something better. He said, I'll pay off your debt. Wow, bless his name. He paid my sin debt, and he paid it in full. He just didn't pay for my past sins, did he? He didn't pay for my present sins, but he paid for my future sins. I've been forgiven. Does that help anybody else today? I've been forgiven, and not only is my debt paid, I get to live off the rest. Wow, I get to live off the rest. Why? Because Jesus is in the house. I heard, please don't help me get my breath. Oh, they like making, Jesus is in the house. They think it's some kind of rap song. Huh? For you younger generation, he's not in the hizzle. He's in the heart. Sister Vicky, they can come up with any kind of phrase or terms they want to. But it's not best spoke. It's best felt. I get to thinking sometimes how big a debt I owe. A couple weeks ago, I got real down. I said, Lord, I'm tired of just barely getting by. I'm tired of living from paycheck to paycheck. I'm tired of doing this and tired of doing that. He said, why don't you shut your whining up? He said, you got better than anybody else. He goes, have you ever begged for bread? I said, no, Lord. He said, have you ever been forsaken? I said, no, Lord. He says, where are your sins at? I said, cast to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered no more. He said, the world may forsake you and forget you. He said, but I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. You're living off what I've already paid. And don't worry about it when it's all come in. He said, you won't have to worry about what else you owe. It's all been paid in full. And now I'm living off the rest. I ran into somebody. Y'all pray for me now. I know. I thought I'd been preaching for about 2 hours. Feel like I have. Glad I'm on a diet. You may not see it, but I feel like I am. Somebody say amen. Help the preacher out and give me an amen on that one. Watching football games. Josh, he keeps pushing my button. Watching these football games, these young people. Got a boy playing football games, and I know some of them youngins, their lifestyle. They like to go out and partying. And some of the adults do the same thing too. And what they like to do is they like to go out on the weekend and like to drink that alcohol and do those drugs and things. I see this one all the time getting cramps. Y'all pray for the preacher now. Y'all pray for the preacher now. Y'all, I need your help. I see him getting cramps. And I hear people saying, why is a young, fit individual, teenage boy all the time getting cramps? I remember them old alcoholics. Jeff, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Me and Jeff don't like to talk about our past, but I've seen them drunks get on roofs and roof. I've seen them drunks mow grass. I've seen them drunks try to do things. You talking about sweating. Man, they'll sweat and sweat and sweat and sweat and sweat. And I've watched them sweat so much it looked like they're going to drown in it. Can I say this? That alcohol never gives nothing for your life. Hey, man, that's right. I know a lot of people like to try to sugarcoat it nowadays. Group want to say everything's good, everything's good. You just got to do it in moderation. God help that crowd. What they're trying to do is get you tainted so they can feel good about themselves. The Bible said we're supposed to be pure, holy, and live at peace with men and brothers and sisters. And a holiness with God. Somebody say amen right there. And what that alcohol does, it draws all the moisture out your body. You sweat it all out. and I watch them. And you said, preacher, you're judging. No, I'm not judging. I'm going by the testimony they give me when I walk by them and I hear them. Don't you teenagers look at me all cross-eyed neither. I was in high school once too, and so was a bunch of people in here. There were some good godly examples that didn't live that way in high school. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Good godly examples in school. They get made fun of from time to time, right? But I want to say this, you young people that's living life and living pure and trying your best, you stay that way. Don't let the punks, don't let the no good down for nothings trying to sway you away. Do you know why? Because they want what you got, and it makes them jealous, it bothers them. I was the same guy in school. Oh, it ain't going to hurt nothing. Oh, it takes you farther. And I watch them, Sister Vicky, and I know their parents' life. And it breaks my heart. I'm sitting in the, I ain't going to lie. I keep eyes, Lord, let me get in that football locker room with them. Let me get in that school with them. Last year, some of y'all thought I was crazy, but there was a so-called preacher from a so-called church goes to Blanchester High School to tell them that if you're going to drink, make sure you drink your own beer. And somebody said he was just trying to be a help. He wasn't being a help. Them kids didn't hear that. They heard, hey, it's okay for me to drink. The preacher said so. I know it's not popular, Brother Miller, but it's still right. I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to be God's man and say, wait, it matters what's in your house. Brings me my next scripture. You know that? Oh, bless his name. Luke chapter number 11. You can go there if you can read it. I'm just going to paraphrase. But we find this is the scripture where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he's talking to the crowd that's around him. And he's talking about when the unclean spirit of a man leaves him, he goes out searching for places and he finds none. Searches for a place to dwell. He's searching for a place that's a little bit better. Why? Because the inside of the house got cleaned up. Right? And a lot of times, I hope everybody here likes a clean house. I like a clean house. With 7 kids, it's hard. But I still like a clean house. I'm not saying it for a joke. I'm saying is you may have a lot of things going on in your life, and it's hard, but you should like a clean house. And that unclean spirit left the house because it was clean. But when that spirit found no rest, it come back to the house. And when it found the house empty, swept, and garnished, it says, well, I don't want to live by myself. I'm going to get 7 other spirits worse than me to come with me. And it comes into that house. The house is not a house. It's an individual. Jesus said the end of that man was worse than his beginning. That's what he was saying. Right? You said, preacher, okay, what's that got to do with anything? The next 2 verses I've always overlooked, Brother Scott. Always overlook. Because to come to Jesus and blessed are the paps that gave thee suck. Talking about bless the woman, bless Mary that fed you. Jesus said, nah, I say blessed rather is the one who hears the word of God and keeps it. Amen. Why is that? Because if you hear the word of God and keep it, that invites somebody into an empty house. And his name's Jesus Christ. And can I say this? The house can be swept and garnished. And can I say this? I believe in right living. I believe in holy living. I believe you ought to live right and everything. But all the outside appearance don't matter. You can look clean. You can look pure. But if there's nobody living on the inside, mark her down. Evil's going to come your way. And says, I got me a new house to live in. He'll move his stuff in there. And your end will be worse than your beginning. What's in your house today? What's in your house? If you want to, I invite you to go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Love the Lord. Ain't he good? Somebody say, ain't he good to you? I shouldn't have to ask for an amen on that. We all should say amen. He's good. What's in your house? Is there salvation in your house? Is Jesus living in your house? I guess I should have said, who's in your house? Who's in your house? It doesn't stop the problems, doesn't stop everything from coming. But Psalm 127, the Lord laid upon my heart. He said, Jason, encourage them. The Bible says, and I've been saying this here a lot lately, Paul told Timothy, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Here comes some exhortation along with having your debt paid. We should have just stopped at that part where he said he paid the debt, and we all should have took a running fit with me. I know some of you may not run and shout right now, but you will when the Lord comes back. And you just save all that energy and win. Maybe you can help me out whenever I run out. Somebody say amen right there. I want to say this in Psalm chapter 127. The Bible says in verse number 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Your work is vain, you trying to build that house to be the house you want it to be. Your work is vain if you're trying to build that house the way you think the Lord wants it to be. Your work is vain unless the Lord builds the house. You say, preacher, how do I let the Lord build the house? Let his singing, let his music, let his word, let those prayers be the predominant sound in that house. Most importantly, the love that makes all those things together. Let it be the predominant thing in the house. Hey, husbands and wives, they fight. Right? I mean, does anybody else have Tammy and me and you's in trouble? We's the only one. I think I heard Mark and Josh. We're in trouble. Me and Tammy, sometimes we get in fights. I guess, what they call it now? They call them spats now. We have disagreements on things. It don't last very long. She tells me I'm wrong. I keep my mouth shut. She walks away, and I say, I'm right. I know you husbands ain't going to say amen on that, neither. But sometimes you have problems. Sometimes kids get out of line. Sometimes husbands do things screwing. Sometimes the wives do things sometimes. And sometimes there's things that come against your house and you can't help it. But let the Lord be number one in that house. He'll build that house. It's not the windows. It's not the plaster. It's not the ceiling that makes it a home. It's not the couch or the bed or the furniture. It's the Lord. Next he says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. You can try your best to keep your doors locked. You can try your best to try to tell your kids how they ought to live. But it's better for let the Lord to watch your kids. You say, preacher, how do you do that? By you living a life in front of those kids, knowing that the Lord's watching over you and the Lord will watch your kids. Y'all hearing the preacher? I tell my kids, I don't care if they're, I got one that's 21 years old and he's home right now with a sore jaw hurting real bad. And every time he comes to me with something about scripture or anything like that, and James, if he's going to make a screwy decision, I always try to stop him and say, hey, look, that's not right. That's not right. Somebody says, well, you got to let him grow up sometimes. I don't know. Some of you older moms and dads can say this. Do those kids ever stop being your kids? No. Huh? They never do. They'll always be my babies. But it's vain for me to watch over them. It's better for the Lord to watch over them. And let the Lord have his way. That doesn't mean I don't care for him, Sister Sheila. It means I'm letting the Lord do the bulk of the work. He says also, number two, he said, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. It's vain for you to worry. If the Lord's in the house, let him take care of it. Stop working in vain, stop watching in vain, and stop worrying in vain. Let the Lord have his way. Who's in your house? Because if the Lord's in your house, he said he'll give you sleep. He will give you sleep. I'm amazed at the times that we're living in today. And don't get me wrong, I've got modern technology. I still have a TV, but we don't have broadcast television. The kids will watch movies, things like that. They still play video games, things like that. But we cut off all the beer commercials. We cut off all the pornographic commercials. Them guys at work, we'll watch the news at work. They're even doing underwear commercials. Men and women in their underwear, middle of the day. I remember used to, man, you didn't see nothing like that. That didn't come on until after 11 o'clock. After the kids was always supposed to be in the bed. Now it's all day long. Y'all right? Y'all all right? But me doing that's not going to keep them, it's not going to make it possible for the Lord to be in their heart. Brother Brian, it's me living that life and letting the Lord have his way. If there's anything possible in this day when we walk out, is you need to answer the question, what's in your house? Is the Lord in there? The devil in there? sin in there. You need to get rid of it. Paul said, purge it. Get rid of it. They said, preacher, is the Lord in your house? He is. The Lord's in my house. I can say he is. Do you still have problems, preacher? Unfortunately, yes. Does the devil come to your house? Unfortunately, yes. But if I'm smart enough and stop relying upon my own stuff, when I hear this going, instead of me running up the door and answering and inviting them in, that's what I do by the time I say, Lord, can you answer that door for me? And when the Lord answers the door, watches the house, builds the house, I ain't got to worry about no evil thing getting in the house. What's in your house today? Do you need help? That woman was a godly woman. And you say, preacher, how can you say for sure she's a godly woman? Because she went to the man of God to say, I need help. She didn't try to do it on her own. I ain't saying nothing against a woman. I ain't saying that a man's better. And I ain't saying a woman's lesser. But can I say something? I don't care if you're a man or a woman. You can't do it on your own. You need the Lord in your house. Is the Lord in your house? Are you saved today? Don't come to me and say, well, preacher, I got saved when I was 5, and I've lived like the devil for 50 years. Don't come to me and say that. Don't come to me and say, well, I just guess I've been saved all my life. Don't come to me and say that. Don't come to me and say that. Somebody come in my house, spend the night, I know they're there. The covers will be messed up. The bathroom won't be the same. Dishes will be dirty. Right? If the Lord's in your house, there will be evidence of him living in your house. Can we get us a song?